Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 139 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Now, I know I have been lax on the podcast, and I'm not going to deny that part of it's laziness. I got back from my cruise gigs. I had a lot of stuff going on in L.A. I was busy doing shows and doing some interviews and publicity stuff and working on a radio show with NPR in L.A., and I just hadn't got around to doing a podcast. But there's another reason, and you've heard me say this before, and it's still true. I get tired of the same news stories. I get tired of the same news cycle, and I don't feel like I have anything to add to it, and there's no way to make it funnier, and I just tend to leave it alone. So I guess we should get this out of the way right up front, right? Because you have to. The Trump news, the latest, there's nothing new. You know, Trump rallies are still intimidation, somewhat violent, and they're not publicizing that as much as it's actually happening. How much people who are anti-Trump get physically bullied and pushed out of the rallies. But the new thing that they're into, and this is a Trump and Cruz thing, is the wives. Yeah, they've brought their respective wives into it. So yeah, and of course they deny it. You know, they neither one had anything to do with it. It was something that their super PAC did, it was something their supporters did. They had no idea how it happened. So I don't even know who fired first, but the Ted Cruz supporters were pumping out ads and talking about how Trump's trophy wife had posed nude in GQ magazine in Britain some years ago in the UK, which obviously their intention was for that to upset the Mormons in Utah and for Trump to lose there. So Trump, you know, Trump, he doesn't do it. He says, you know, you better look out. You better be careful because something may happen. And that's the code to tell his supporters to get on it. So his supporters have gotten on Ted Cruz's wife, Heidi Cruz, about some depression she's gone through, depression issues, mental illnesses. Now, let me tell you something. Being married to Ted Cruz is pretty much a reason to be depressed all the time. So we can't even get into why the poor woman is married to this guy and what a horrible person he is. Because he is a horrible person on any level of, you know, compassion or understanding or anything. But he seems to love his wife, so good for him on that one. She went through some depression when she had to give up her job and her career to follow him and his and be the political wife and so on. And, you know, she was found by the police curled up in a ball, and they had to, you know, depression is a real mental illness. She went through it. So now Cruz and Trump will attack each other's wives. Yeah, whatever. You know, the Republican side of this election has turned into a mess. It is a mess. It is a sideshow. It is comical. I don't know how to describe it. On the Democratic side, Hillary is steadily marching forward. There are still Bernie supporters. Bernie wins small states. Hillary wins big states. And Hillary wins super delegates. And people don't like it, but that's how the system works and blah, blah, blah. Now, an interesting thing in this election cycle is Arizona. Because there was a lot of talk about voter fraud in Arizona. And basically, well, let's see, how many, I'm looking for the exact number, because they closed tons of polls. Okay, so here it is. Maricopa County, which is where Phoenix is, in the most populous part of Arizona, the most populous place in Arizona, they cut the number of polling places by two-thirds. So they went from 200 places to vote 4 years ago in the presidential election to 60. Now, Hillary Clinton won, okay, and a lot of And Trump won. Hillary won Democrat. Trump won Republicans. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself on this. The thing is, many Sanders supporters say that this was done. This was an effort, and Hillary Clinton was somehow in on it, and it was going to suppress the voters. People waited 4, 5, and 6 hours to vote. A lot of people gave up. This, I don't believe this had anything to do with Hillary versus Bernie. This is part of the, listen, Phoenix has a huge minority population, especially a Latino population. Now, who would not want Latinos to vote? Republicans. This is just a dry run for the fall election to make sure that the minorities in the Phoenix area don't get to vote, because they're not going to vote for Trump. They're going to vote for Hillary or Bernie, whoever the Democratic candidate is. So there's all of this goes on. And then the Helen Purcell, who is the Republican recorder for Maricopa County, in other words, she's in charge of the number of polling places. She admitted it was her responsibility for drastically reducing the number of polling places, but she refuses to step down. There's going to be a hearing, and there's going to be blah, 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 and blah, 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 a lot of talk. Nothing's going to be done. Listen, whenever they talk voter fraud, they being the Republicans, because they're the only ones who talk about voter fraud, they always talk about it like some black guy just got out of jail, and he's voting 5 times using fake ID, or some Mexican guy is illegal in this country and shouldn't be allowed to vote, and he votes. You know what the voter fraud is? Their manipulation of polling places, voting districts, voting machines, votes not getting counted, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what the real voter fraud is, and that's what happened here. With all due respect to Bernie's supporters, this is a tough one to hang on Hillary Clinton. Really? You think Hillary Clinton's manipulating Arizona? Arizona is so crazy Republican. I told you, when we segregate the South, I'm giving them Arizona. I'm giving them Arizona. We're taking North Carolina. They can have Arizona. So I don't know that they are going to embrace Hillary Clinton. Belgium, as we know, the latest big terrorist attack, the latest big attack from ISIS, 34 dead, hundreds injured, multiple bombings, etc., etc., etc. Now, Barack Obama was in Cuba when this happened, and he went to a baseball game, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But before that, we'll talk about Trump and Cruz appealing to their base, appealing to fear and hatred, saying this is why, another terrorist attack, why we need to watch those Muslims. We need more police patrolling Muslim neighborhoods, and we shouldn't allow Muslims in the country, and blah, 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 just fill in your Muslim hate line right there. But here's the interesting thing. 34 died in Belgium, right? So Muslims should be banned from the country. They should be, their neighborhoods should be patrolled by more cops. They should be allowed to be stopped and searched, blah, blah, blah. How many kids died in Newtown? How many kids were shot in Newtown? And what was their response to that? Oh, we need more guns. Everyone should be carrying a gun. Teachers should be carrying a gun. Hell, students should be carrying a gun. They're 6. They're 7. They're old. So it's bullshit. It's bullshit, okay? I'm not sitting here supporting Muslim terrorism. Yes, there are bad Muslims, but there are bad people everywhere. That's my point. There are bad people everywhere. And if you want to talk about a situation that we have some control over, we may not have control over suicidal, radical Islamic terrorists. We could have some control over gun owners. So I call bullshit on this one. Some will say this is an apples and oranges comparison, and in a way it is, but at the end of the day, we're talking about innocent lives taken by terrorists, okay? We're talking about innocent lives taken in an act of terror. So if it's Islamic terror, it's the horrible thing, and we should take all rights away from Muslims. But if it's an American Christian terrorist, then it's okay. You know, and we can go down the list, whether it be Newtown or the church shooting in South Carolina or on and on. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. Okay, I'm calling bullshit on it. Speaking of guns, we got guns are in the news, and you know, I'm not anti-gun. I'm pro common sense. That's what I, you know, and I've been talking about this in my act. You know, here's the thing with the Constitution and the gun thing. The founding fathers had no way of knowing how crazy we would become. And that's probably why they didn't specifically put in the Constitution, you can't take a automatic weapon to a grocery store. See, they did, you know, they had grocery stores. They had the mercantile, the general store, whatever the hell they had. And they were like, We don't really have to write a law saying don't bring automatic weapons to the store. You know, we don't have to write a law saying don't bring a machine gun to the Chipotle, even though they didn't have a Chipotle. They knew it was coming. No, they were like, no, people wouldn't be that crazy. Yeah, we're that crazy. We need that law written. And, you know, and speaking of crazy and guns, I love this story, okay? There's a woman named Jamie Gilt, and she posts firearms on her social media account. She's like, she's one of those, we need more guns, everyone should have a gun. And she posted that her 4-year-old son gets jacked up when they go to the shooting range and he gets to shoot the .22. Her 4-year-old shoots the .22. Well, you know what else her 4-year-old shot? Her 4-year-old son found her pistol in the back seat and shot her in the back. She didn't die, but, well, yeah. Shot a 45, shot her in the back. Darwinism, I don't know. I don't know what you call that. I'm sure she's still pro-gun. She just might be mumbling it a little bit or whatever. I don't even know the extent of her injuries. I don't care. This is the insanity we're at. This is the level we're at. Take my 4-year-old to the shooting range, throw the 45 in the back seat. And the funny thing is, I will bet money because he's 4 years old, that kid was in a child safety seat. That kid was in a child safety seat, grabbed the gun, and accidentally shot mom. What are you going to do? You can't write that. I can't make that up. That's genius. I love shit like that. Oh, we got more gun stories. Texas, and where the hell else? Where the hell else would these two stories come from other than Florida and Texas? So in Florida, we have a 4-year-old shooting mom with a 45. In Texas, concealed weapons now allowed on campus. College campuses, this starting this semester, they no longer allow, public colleges and universities in Texas will no longer be able to ban the concealed carrying of handguns when this law takes effect in August. So, they can bring their guns to school. You know who's nervous? The professors. You know how hard it is to give a bad grade when you don't know which of the students is armed? Some of the professors are quitting. You know, well, UT says fewer than 1% have concealed handgun licenses, but the licenses are available to residents 21 and older. So, if 50,000, you have 50,000 students, what's 1% of 50,000? 500? You could have at any given time 500 kids carrying guns. The math in this article said 5,000, but that's wrong. 5,000 would be 10%. So one of those numbers is wrong. So I'm going to go on the low side. I'm going to go that it's 1%, and there could be at any given time 500 armed students at the school. That's a lot of armed students. That is a lot of concealed guns floating around. But you know that Texas, some bitch, so good for them. Good. I hope they shoot it out. But I bet there won't be many students failing classes at the University of Texas. I almost went to that school. How crazy is that? Speaking of crazy, North Carolina sad because I love this state. North Carolina's a beautiful state. I've had great times there, but they passed this crazy anti-LGBT law, and it's such a, you know, this is where lawyers, this is why lawyers get paid so much, because this is one of those laws that's written, it's hard to explain, but basically they've written a law that does away with non-discrimination. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense to me. Basically, what they told people was that this non-discrimination law, here's how it started. Transgender people wanted to use the bathroom of the gender that they chose. In other words, a man who is transgendered into a woman wants to be able to use the ladies' room. And if a woman transgendered to a man wanted to use the men's room. Now, the main reason for that is many of these transgender women, okay, meaning men who have become women, have gone into men's room and been abused, been beaten up, attacked, et cetera, and they don't feel safe there. And you can understand why, especially with these attitudes going on. So the people who were against this said, well, what's going to happen when a man dresses up like a woman, goes into a ladies' room, and rapes a woman? That's what they said. It's going to happen. Well, it's never happened. That's not the problem. It's not going to be. It's never happened. But that's the lie they told, that this is happening every day. And they passed this law. But their law is so anti-non-discrimination. That doesn't even sound right when I say it, but their law is so anti-non-discrimination that now you can discriminate against the LGBT community any way you want. You can fire people for being gay. You can ban them from using bathrooms. You can do whatever you want. Repercussions? Yeah, right away the NBA said, yeah, Charlotte, we don't know about the All-Star game being in North Carolina next year. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other businesses that follow suit. This is the same as when Arizona tried to pass that crazy so-called immigration law that was really just a big, fat, anti-Mexican law and damn near lost the Super Bowl. You know, so good for the NBA. But, see, this is what I'm talking about. Well, we're fighting the same things again and again. How long ago did I do the bit about the anti-gay discrimination laws in Indiana? You know, raising money, the pizzeria, raising money to make sure they never have to serve pizza to a gay wedding that never ordered pizza. It's the same thing. And here it is, a year and a half later, same thing. So this is, I'm sorry, but why do we keep having the same damn arguments? It is. Well, I don't know. That's enough out of me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's enough out of me. Oh, I did talk about Barack Obama. I'm not even going to go into the Supreme Court justice thing and the Senate refusing to talk to his Supreme Court nominee, even though they used the nominee as an example of a moderate, but now they won't talk to him. You know, he was a moderate they could live with until he was actually nominated by Barack Obama. Now they won't talk to him. Another story. So the baseball thing. So the terrorist attack in Brussels, and, you know, right away Cruz and Trump are on, and I'm sure the whole Fox News machine, which I don't even listen to anymore, they're all over Barack Obama because Barack Obama went to a baseball game. He went to a baseball game. How come he didn't come to Washington and protect people, which I guess he was supposed to go door to door, make sure there were no terrorists coming in, or how come he didn't go to Brussels? Well, he said, Barack Obama said, because this mattered, because going to the baseball game in Cuba mattered in a symbolic way, because the biggest fight against terrorism, and the French did this after they were attacked, is get back to normal. Don't let the terrorists win. Get back to normal. Now, I don't know if Barack Obama did the right thing here. Maybe the symbolic right thing would have been to go back to Washington, D.C., but he did what he did. He's standing behind it. And is what I call cool Barack Obama. Like I said, Barack Obama is so cool right now, his hair is turning black again. He's not going to play. He is not going to play the game with Trump and Cruz, and good for him on that. Was there anything he could do? No, there wasn't anything he could do about Brussels, express his remorse and this and that. Relations with Cuba, important. A baseball game, no better symbol of the United States and Cuba doing something we have in common, and how many great baseball players have come from Cuba. So I might be an Obama apologist on this. I don't know. Maybe I am. Call me out if I am. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know if what he did was right, but he's standing behind what he did with a reason. And I'm okay with that. I don't think there's anything he could have done other than symbolically go back to Washington, D.C. But symbols are important. And staying in Cuba was a symbol. He could have gone back to D.C. President Bush, when the nation was attacked, kept reading the book, kept reading the kids' book in Florida, because he didn't know what to do. So I don't know. I do not know. I understand why they're mad. I ain't mad, but let them have it. Okay, enough of that stuff. We'll get into the sad news, and then I'll try to leave you with something only in America. We lost, since my last podcast, three people who were iconic to me for various reasons. Ken Howard was a white shadow. Ken Howard was the coach on a 70s TV show called The White Shadow. It was a white coach of a black basketball team, and it was iconic, and it was a great show, and it coined that term, The White Shadow. That's where it came from. Sad to see him go. Gary Shandling. I had never been lucky enough to meet Gary Shandling. I know so many comics who knew him. Everyone talked about how funny he was, but not just funny, like how incredibly funny he was. Also, a great guy. And I know comics who knew him. We've lost one of the greats. He was a very funny man. I've never heard anything bad about him. My favorite Gary Shandling quote, memory of a joke, whatever, when he talked about dating actresses, because for a while he was dating these beautiful actresses. He said, you know how a woman can change, just get emotional and change on you, whatever. Imagine a woman who can do that on cue. That always struck me as funny. Rest in peace, Mr. Shandling. You were really funny. And Fife Dog. Fife was a member of Tribe Called Quest. Tribe Called Quest is from my area of Queens. They're from St. Albans. They're from Southeast Queens. Fife was one of the founders, one of the members of a Tribe Called Quest. A Tribe Called Quest was one of the great early hip-hop groups, early rap groups. You know, Q-Tip was the lead voice, but they did, they changed the game. They changed the game. Everyone, can I kick it? Yes, you can. We're still rapping that today. Bonita Applebaum, all of that stuff was, and there's a great movie out about A Tribe Called Quest. So we lost some great talent and good men, and it's sad to see them go. And finally, forgive me for this podcast. Well, no, I have two finalies. One, okay, under unbelievable, Eddie Izzard, the comedian Eddie Izzard, ran 27 marathons in 27 days. I don't even know what to say to that. That is the most amazing thing I've ever heard. 27 marathons in 27 days. I don't know how you top that. If you run 28 marathons in 28 days, that's not more impressive. So Eddie Izzard, unbelievable, Superman. You talk about endurance. What kind of lungs does this guy have? I don't even know. I ride a mountain bike for 40 minutes and I'm huffing and puffing. I guess I got some training to do. Finally, and this is only in America, and this is baseball, and this is what makes America great. The Burgerizza. That's right. The Burgerizza, available at Fulton County Stadium where the Braves are playing. Burgerizza is a grilled 20-ounce all-beef patty covered with five slices of cheddar cheese, topped with crispy bacon, and served between 2 8-inch pepperoni pizzas. That's right. Did you hear that, America? Did you hear that? A bacon cheeseburger on 2 pizzas is a bun. Done. Done. Only in America. Only in America would you even think of a burgerizza. God bless us. God bless America. Some bitch. That's great. That is better than a deep fried Twinkie. Anything, any snack, anything you can name. This just won. This just won. Let me see this. Say this again. 20-ounce all beef patty, covered with 5 slices of cheddar cheese, topped with crispy bacon, and served between 2 8-inch pepperoni pizzas. And you think people are not going to eat that? Shit. I love it. Thank you guys for listening. Honestly, I'm sorry it's been so long. Next week I'm going to have guests. And one of the guests, two of the guests are great friends of mine. But I already have Owen Smith locked in. Brilliant comic, brilliant writer, and starring in a new sitcom. So I love him. It's going to be good to have him on. I'm in Tacoma, Washington this weekend. I'm going to be in Chicago next weekend. I'm doing another episode of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me next week. And after Chicago, I'm heading to Vegas. Things are good. I love you guys for listening. Thanks for your patience. Sorry I've been gone. This is Alonzo asking who's paying attention, knowing it's you, and saying thanks.